It's the Dork Podcast. With Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian Davey.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Revel Von Devil. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Well, not always. You know, not always. We had Stiz fill in for me the other night.
That is true. Stiz was in, and Stiz made his Dork debut. I thought he did a great job as we talked Shogun. Check out the archives for our Shogun review. Two quick questions for you, Ryan.
Yes.
Maybe three, actually. Three quick questions. Did you finish Shogun?
No.
How far are you to finishing it?
I believe I'm on episode 6.
Okay. So when you're done, let me know what your score is, and then I'll...
Right now, it's a... Five and a half.
Yeah,
right now
it's good,
and it's only trending upward.
Agreed.
The only thing I get annoyed with is that Blackthorn.
Yeah,
he's got like the Ryan Brazier neck, like he's always like his neck's like twisted.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of a crinked neck
that bothers me. He's like talking like this, his like ears to one side. Understood. Like that kind of bothers me. He's like a twisted Tom Hardy.
Yeah. And Sunday night, you were working. I was on assignment. Taking pics of who?
So I have been lucky with photo passes, but this week it was the Black Crows. Sunday night, and I'm telling you, man,
kicking ass.
There are very few rock stars, like real rock stars, left on the world.
It's like Dave Grohl.
I don't know what it is. Yeah,
it's like only Dave Grohl.
Like you. Yeah, but like I don't know what it is when you get around like old time, like classic rock stars, like they got like Chris Robinson, like that dude. That guy's got whatever the thing is that people need to do that.
Yeah,
like the charisma or the aura or whatever.
I know,
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is.
Doesn't suck.
There are certain people that are just different than everybody else. There's that.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely built different. Yeah, but that was cool. So, but thank you for allowing me to pursue my passions,
dude. Anytime,
Odyssey, and
anytime, dude. That's kick ass. That's great.
Yeah. Big things coming up too, hopefully. So
yes,
more of that on the way.
Hell yeah. Dude, so I got a story I got to share.
You pitched this to me. I am so excited. This happens rarely.
Yep.
Where you tease something to me.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you about it later.
Yeah. So I got to tell a story. Yeah. I couldn't tell it on the radio because I feel like it's better with swearing. And also, I don't know how it makes me look. Like maybe you're going to listen to this, you or the listener, and you're going to be like, maybe this is your fault. So let me try to paint the picture the best I can. And I'm going to forget a few details because this happened last week. So it's been a little bit. It's not super fresh, but again, it's an odd thing. Let me first paint the picture. Our across the street neighbors are new. So there was a guy that was here who was the man. He moved out a while ago. New neighbors have moved in. They're
already
fine.
Don't like him.
Huh?
I already don't like them. I don't like new things.
I don't like new things either. These people seem fine, but it's not the old. It's not the same guy, right? So anyway, But I only mentioned that to say they've been doing like a ton of work on their house, and they've had a lot of people over there doing all kinds of stuff. So the latest thing is they're doing their roof over. Like, okay, fine.
Oh Jesus,
that's your business, not my business. You want to do your roof? Do your roof. You've been to my house before. The street that I live on, it's sort of like a little side street, and there's probably a total of like 8 houses, you know what I mean? Like, it's a pretty quiet little side, and then there's like 2 other roads that kind of connect to it, but it's like a little side guy, about 8 houses. And so the house that's getting the work done is directly in front of our house. And so one day after I drop young Cece off at school, I'm back home, so it's just me, Georgie, and Harrow, and I look out the window, and there's this like giant flatbed truck with like stuff for the roof parked directly in front of my driveway. And I'm like, I'm squinting and I'm looking at him like, and the driver's still in there. And I'm like, he's probably going to move. And I'm looking at it, looking at it. And mind you, I gave you the little rundown of what my house looks like. This giant, like 18 wheeler or whatever flatbed could have fit 2 on the left side of my driveway unblocked. And you could have fit 2 on the right side of my driveway unblocked. It's not like it's a tiny little area. It's not like it was the only place it could go. You literally could have just backed up or pulled forward. There was no cars or trucks on any other side of the road. He's on my side of the road and he's directly in front of my driveway. So I'm like, Georgie's content and she's in the family room. I shut the gate for a second. Sure. I'm like, I go, maybe I could let this go, but I'm not going to let this go.
No, don't let that go.
So I go down and I'm like, hey, excuse me. Doesn't say anything. Cause he gets out of his car. That's when I got out. He got out of his truck. Yeah. So he goes around to the other side. So I go around and I'm like, excuse me. Do you need to park right in front of the driveway? He turns around, kind of snaps. He's like, I'm just dropping something off. It's going to be 10 minutes. And I go, well, what if somebody needs to get into the driveway? Then I'll move it. I go,
why don't you just move it now?
I go, or you could just move it now. Right. So, you know how I can get at times in these
situations. Yes, I do.
And let the record show, I'm not, nor was I ever, a good fighter. I am not, not a good fighter. I haven't been in a fight in like 20 years, but this was as close as it came. So anyway, so there's a little bit of a back and forth at this point. I said, so what do you do? You just always block people's driveways? He goes, yeah, I do. And just to paint the picture, I'm not telling you my political party, but this gentleman was wearing a Trump for president hat.
Oh, okay.
He was wearing a Trump for president hat, Trump in 2024 hat, and was probably like a little bit taller than me, definitely older. He was probably like 15, 20 years older than us. Sure. And, you know, like a regular guy, like a guy that you would think would be driving truck. But he kind of snaps at me, and I didn't like his attitude. And I was like, I don't know, maybe just move your fucking truck. And he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to hit you with a fucking pipe. And I go, threaten to hit me with a fucking pipe. To which I said, I go, that's great. And then I look over at the side of his car. I go, who do you work for? And I read the name of the thing. And I'm like, while you're back there, move your fucking truck. And he was like, rah, 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 rah. And then he comes walking towards me and I just like stand still. And then he kind of walks around and I'm like, am I going to fucking get my ass kicked right now? Or am I going to like, I can't be out here very long. And so I'm like, and then the guy walks around and lo and behold, moves his fucking truck. He got in the car, backed it up like 10 feet, which was all I was asking for originally. But I'm like, Jesus Christ on a cracker. And then so I'm telling Katie, I'm like, so this happened today. And she was like, she was so mad. She's like, she called the cops. I'm like, I'm not going to call the cops. But I was heated. So long story short, she contacted our neighbor. I'm like, don't even tell. I'm like, don't worry about it. But she's like, she contacted our neighbor. The neighbor got back to her and was like, I'm really sorry that happened. And she's like, and this guy apparently like screwed up their driveway the day before. And so she's like, I already reported this guy. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Wow. What do you think of that? Well, I can tell you right now that just off the rip, right off the top, my blood is fucking boiling right now. Like I am like mad for you.
Yes. Like, it was insane. I was not ready for
that's crazy. Like that's crazy. Not only that, but like if you take one more fucking step towards me, I'm going to kick your fucking knee backwards. Yeah. Like that's it.
Exactly.
End of story.
Yeah.
Like that. That's it for you. I was like, and then I'm going to call the place you work for. And then I'm going to call the cops because you just threatened me with a pipe.
With a pipe, which I didn't see a pipe, but apparently he probably has pipes in his truck.
Yeah, who are you?
Oh my
god. Like who the fuck are you?
But it was also like he literally could have just said the whole situation could have been nothing if he was like, "Hey, I'm literally just dropping these off. It's going to be 2 seconds." Like one of those things. I would have been like, "All right." But it was like he immediately was like snapped at me for being like, "How come the car is blocking my fucking driveway when you can literally go up or back?"
And it's crazy to me because like that's a guy who's like looking for a fight. Like he's like looking for it because there's no reason to do that. There's no reason to react like that.
No.
And my favorite thing to say to everybody in this situation, we see it on Twitter all the time. Yeah. You just pause, you put your hand up like this, hey, is everything all right at home?
Yeah. No,
it wasn't. Are you okay?
I would.
Do you need me to call somebody?
Spoiler, I would bet it was not for that gentleman. I'm like,
you look like you've made a lot of bad decisions in your life, and this is one of them. So like,
a few regrets.
Out of my driveway.
Here's another. Yeah, no, I got my 10 cents in. Like, I definitely told him how I felt.
Oh, I would have loved. I would have loved because you know me. We've known each other long enough to know. I know when you get going that the best thing I can do in that situation is to egg you on.
That's why I don't think I don't remember everything that I said. All I do know is the end result.
Oh no, you blacked out a little bit.
I blacked out a little bit. The end result was there was no fight. Thankfully, I probably would have lost. But more importantly, he moved his fucking truck, and then he ended up leaving. It was probably more than 10 minutes, but it wasn't a super long time. But it was like, dude, what are you doing? There was no need for it. There was zero need to park right in front of the driveway.
And like the only response to what you said, like, hey, can you move your truck is, oh my, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't think anyone was home. I'm sorry.
Yes. Simple.
That's it. That's all I had to say.
Oh, no, I'm just dropping something off.
Okay. Well, you don't have to park in front of my driveway. Like, that doesn't answer the question.
Yeah. Jesus.
Like, this guy, yeah. Yeah.
But then, like, the problem today is, like, there's just so many wackos out there that you're like,
well, that's it.
You don't know if he's going to fucking come back or if he's going to fucking pull a gun out, like, at that moment. You don't know. So you're just like,
oh, yeah.
You tell him how you feel, but then you're also like, all right, I'm going to get back in my fucking house.
Yeah. Especially, like, you got Georgie's inside.
Well, the thing
inside,
is, like, I literally can't be out here for very long. Like, I got to get scooting here. But I was like, what a piece of shit this guy was.
Oh, what an asshole. Yeah. And what was the name of the company? You're not going to say it. Don't say it now.
I'm not going to say the name of the company, but I wrote it down somewhere. I do have the name of the company.
We're not going to say it here. We're not going to send the people after them just like start bombing them.
No. We're not doing that.
Like, what is your name, sir? Like, what is your name?
And this was like a week ago, so I was wondering, like, is there any more deliveries? Because there's still people working on the house, but there's no more like stuff to drop off. So I haven't seen him since.
Has the company shown up?
I've not seen the company.
Oh,
I've not seen that company. Man. Yeah. I bet they get stories about that guy. I bet they love that guy.
What an asshole. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Piece of shit. Real slick back hair.
Tip to tail. Piece of shit, that guy.
Oh, itty-bitty jeans. Lives for New Year's Eve. The guy.
Fuck that guy. I don't even know that guy's name. Oh, I hate him. I hate his guts. I'm going to find where he lives. And I'm going to, like, I don't know, send a bunch of, like, Kamala Harris
newsletters. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Part of me kind of laughed that he says he's going to hit me with a pipe because I was like,
that's very specific. Like, have you done specific. That before?
He's 100% hit somebody with a pipe before.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I'll punch you, I'll kill you, I'll fucking whatever. I'm going to get a pipe. And then I'm like, well, I got a sword inside. I'm like, if it's going to come
to
that.
You do have a sword inside.
I do have a sword for the home security, but that could also apply
to.
If
you had time. And you knew he was coming back with a pipe. Would you grab the sword?
100% I would. But then I think I'd be in a lot of trouble. But he would also be in more trouble.
Stand your ground. Yeah. Hey, you're on your own. You're on your property.
That's true. Yeah, he fucking parked right in front of my driveway. That's a good point.
Yep.
Anyway, they got me a little hot last week. But that's that. All right.
Fuck.
This week.
Ryan, have you started Baby Reindeer, the number one show on Netflix?
No, but my wife has, and we're diving into it because, you know, that's where, and you've watched the whole thing, and you said it's like 10, 8 episodes,
7,
half hour each or something, 7.
Yeah, it's even quicker. I ripped through it. It is a wild ride. It is a...
It's based on a true story, right? On a true story.
Yes, and I didn't even know that until like 4 episodes in, and I was like...
Oh, boy.
I go, what the fuck? It's wild.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I don't even know. I think go in, not you, but other people. I would say if you haven't watched it, give it a go. Don't bing anything. Don't look up anything. Just go in with an open mind. Know that it's going to be a little unsettling at times. It's going to be a little off. But I think that might be the best way rather than like kind of knowing what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But holy,
that's how I'm going into it. I don't know much about it other than it's like dealing with like a stalker and it's like a true story.
Yep,
that's it.
Yeah, boom, that's all you need.
Yep.
This week we're getting the Bad Batch finale, not just the season but the series finale this Wednesday. I've enjoyed this season quite a bit and I'm fascinated to see how they land this plane because there's a lot going on.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah,
there's a lot, and I feel like where I am in the season right now, I think I'm at like episode 8 and it's like 8 or 9, and I'm like, come on.
Yep.
Like, I get it. Like, let's move. Like,
dude, there's a couple. I'm telling you, I said this before, but there's a couple of like bummer episodes coming up. I don't think you've hit them yet, but there's a couple.
I haven't hit them yet.
You're like, like, this is not exactly like kid friendly, but
because right now, the thing. So, it's, I mean, this isn't there. There's a storyline that like there's two characters who get thrown together who then like form like this little bit of a bond.
Yep.
And they're still trying to like work that out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like with the rest of the team. And I'm like,
yeah,
like, let's just go.
Let's get it going.
Yeah.
But I think, so this takes place obviously after episode 3 and way before episode 4. Mm-hmm. It's just like the Andor times, right? Like, or getting closer to Andor.
Yes.
My question would be, we don't know the fates of any of these guys, right? I don't think they've ever said, I don't know if they've either been like confirmed alive or dead later on. At least no. The Bad Batch. I feel like Rex, there might be like a, there's like a, he's in maybe Rogue One, or like his name is mentioned maybe in Rogue One, but I don't think any of the Bad Batch are. So like they could all go, they could all die. They could all survive. Like, I don't think we know.
Or they could all be like, you know, in the shadows, like in the underworld, like doing something there.
In Omega. You know, but you know what part of me was wondering is like, with the timeline, I was like, unfortunately, Captain Phasma was such a letdown of a character. But like, Phasma could have been like Omega. Like, if she, like, some twists and turns and shit along the way, and then she ended up being kind of like a bad guy or something. Could have been.
Yeah.
But that's, I hope that's not it, because Phasma stinks. I hope it's not the case. Mm-hmm. Tales of the Empire, speaking of Star Wars, comes out this Saturday, which is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Absolutely.
And each and every one of you. So I think all six of these short stories are going to be released at once. So probably we won't turn it around for this Sunday, but maybe coming up, we'll probably have to do Tales of the Empire.
Which they, you posted the trailer today. It looks excellent. We got some old friends coming back.
Yes.
You know, Thrawn. And
Grievous, right?
Grievous, General Grievous. Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
I like Grievous. How about this? Severance season 2 has wrapped filming and is going to come out later this year.
That's a quick turnaround. Now, remember they started doing this and then the strike happened and they stopped. They like halted production, but they were well into it.
Okay. Oh, so that
maybe they
been.
Didn't have to do that much to do, but they didn't have that much to do. But
dude, Severance was great.
That's exciting.
Yeah. This year is going to be off the charts for TV, because we just had a couple of good TV shows and then we got a bunch coming out in June, right? That's when House of the Dragon and The Bear and The Boys and all these fucking shows are coming out, and The Acolyte. And then we're going to get Severance season 2. Like hell yeah.
I'm already having a hard enough time like keeping up with TV. Like this is crazy.
Keeping up. I know. Also, Ryan, Russell Crowe is in a movie called The Exorcism, and you're probably thinking, "Oh, you mean The Pope's Exorcist?" No, that's a different movie. It's a different exorcism movie that Russell Crowe did. So apparently his new niche is exorcism films.
Is he going Mel Gibson? Is he doing all like the God stuff now? Like playing priests and...
So this one actually a little bit different. So he played the Pope's exorcist. That was the movie, which wasn't a bad movie. It was fine. This one is about an act. This is a little meta, I guess. It's an actor making a movie about exorcisms and then starts to experience some shit, which is kind of like what they said on the set of The Exorcist. Remember, they were like, it was pretty freaky. So I wonder if it's based on that.
Kind of kooky. Kind of freaky.
Kind of spooky.
Yeah.
But all right, that's that. Wow, let's get to this.
Last week, I saw a film. As I recall, it was a horror film.
It is time for the topic du jour, Ryan.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day.
I didn't know how to respond. You did two things back to back.
They are both very topical. So this one is Late Night with the Devil, which is now streaming on Shudder. It was in theaters earlier this year. You can also get a rip of it on AMC Plus. You can get a free week of that if you so choose. Maybe you subscribe. Maybe you're money bags out there and you have all the streaming services. It is currently streaming. But this is one of the most anticipated movies for me personally. I thought it looked insane. And it was a quick turnaround. I think it was in theaters just a couple of months ago. But Late Night with the Devil, it is 1 hour and 33 minutes. Roddy Tees has 97% still on the critics, 81% audience. We begin, as we do with all of our movies and TV reviews, spoiler-free. Ryan, did you like it?
I did. Did you like it?
Ooh, you hesitated. Dude, I loved it.
I had a very strange reaction to it.
Okay,
Which we'll get to. Yeah.
I loved it. And then... So I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and I said how much I loved it, and then you were like, hey, if I watch it, we can do an episode. So I was like, sounds good to me. So I rewatched it again. So I've seen it twice, and I loved it.
There was my reaction. The very first thing that I said to my wife after the credits started rolling was, I need to watch that again.
Yeah, probably.
Like that. It's one of those movies that, like, I thought I saw some things.
I bet you did.
And you need to watch it again.
Yes.
And then I did like my little Reddit thing where I was like going on. I was like, hey, did I see what I think I saw?
I bet you did.
And they're like, yes, you did.
Yeah. I kind of liked it. Now, with like what we asked with all horror movies, did you think it was scary?
No, not really.
Yeah. I don't think it was necessarily scary. There's some cool stuff, and it's, you know, Late Night with the Devil, and we won't spoil too much of it. You've seen the trailers, though. It's the whole idea of bringing somebody out onto this late night television show who may or may not be possessed. So you're dealing with kind of like, you know, not to do exorcisms, but like you are kind of dealing with like devil type stuff. I don't think it was necessarily scary, but it was like creepy. Like there were parts that were creepy. I said it was interesting.
I thought it was interesting.
I loved the story, though. I thought the story was kick-ass, and I thought they did such a great job from the very beginning, kind of like opening you up to be like, all right, here's this world we've created, and takes place in the 70s, and it has a very 70s feel to it. I would argue that the aesthetic was perfect. Like, it just, you felt like you were in that time. They've made up a fake show, but they also said he was going up against Carson, you know? So it was like, in the real world, but obviously a fictional thing. And I thought the characters were great. We'll get into it more in spoilers, but you have David Dismalchin plays Jack Delroy, who is the night show host. But then he has a sidekick, and then they have multiple guests on this, like, Halloween night edition of the show. And each guest I thought was great. Like, they all served a purpose. Like, they were all really, really well done. And it made for like a creepy kind of must-see TV Halloween night episode of that show. I thought it was pretty sweet.
If you were a cast member in that show, or like someone who was on like the crew or whatever, how long would you have lasted into that broadcast?
First commercial break, I probably would have departed.
I'm out.
Fuck it.
I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah, I'll do it. I don't like the aura anymore in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave. I thought the characters were good. I thought the comedy was decent, like, because again, it's sort of like that late night show, right? So there's some good back and forth with him and his sidekick. One of the guests in particular I thought was pretty funny, and so I thought it was good. The acting was good. It's funny, there's the girl on the show, at times I'm not sure, I'm like, and it's just a young girl, not to pick on her, but it's like, was she acting a certain way because of what was going on with the character, or is she just maybe not the best actress? Like, I couldn't really tell.
Well, I think the idea was that, like, she was raised in like that house. Yes. So just to get like a bit of the backstory. So like, she was raised in like this cult house, like this like demonic cult house, and then house caught on fire, cult dies, she survives.
Yep.
So I think the idea was that, and they mentioned something of the fact that like she was 10 when that happened. Now she's 13.
Yes.
So a kid who like didn't probably grow up around people or normal people, didn't really know, didn't make eye contact, didn't really know how to act around people.
Yeah, you're probably right. She probably did do a good job. Yeah. I liked all the characters, and like we said, it's a 90-minute horror movie that you're in and you're out. Like, it rips, it flies by.
Yeah. And when you're like, oh shit, like that, you want more. Like, it leaves you kind of wanting more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would call it a must-see, especially amongst horror fans. There's a bunch of good horror movies, at least scheduled to come out this year. This is the best one I've seen thus far, but we'll see where the rest of it goes.
And for me, like, I thought it was interesting. Like, it was an interesting take on, like, this kind of, like, Russell Crowe, like, exorcism kind of thing. And kind of, like, the dark world of Hollywood.
Oh yeah, a little bit. Well, also it's funny because it was sort of dubbed as a found footage movie, and without giving too much away, I feel like it kind of is, but also like it's not, and I don't think it has to be. And I was
reading, these actors you've seen before, so it's like, it's kind of like that mockumentary style of like,
well, but it's also not just like one cam. Well, I'll save it for spoilers, but like, it's not Blair Witch Project found footage.
No, you know, no,
I mean?
No,
like,
no.
It's not like that, but it is cool sort of how it's shot, I think. All right, I'm curious. What is your hashtag dork score for Late Night with the Devil?
I'm going to give this a soft 5.
Oh, okay. You like it more
five,
than I thought that.
But a 5 nonetheless. Yeah.
All right, I'm going 5.5. As of this moment, it's the second best movie of the year, behind only Dune 2, Electric Boogaloo, that I've seen. And I love everything about it. Like, I thought it was so cool. I think David Dismalchin, who is in so many movies, and he's in so many movies for like 5 minutes, and for him to be like the lead guy on this, and he always plays a much more peculiar character as well.
He's a peculiar looking person.
He is peculiar looking. I've also
very in this movie, he's very high waisted.
He's high waisted, but he wears a good suit, and he's got a charisma about him.
He's got a thing.
He was on one of the more recent horror movie countdown shows that I saw. Mm-hmm. He was great because he's like a huge fan of horror, and he was a good breakdown. So I'm going 5.5. Davey's going 5. Let us know what you guys think. Late Night with the Devil, what is your hashtag dork score? Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast. You can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Anything else before we get to the spoilers?
No, sir.
All right.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
It's just as, before we start this, yes. I'm just going through David Dismalchin's like IMDb page.
His filmography, if you will.
It's Prisoners. So like his first, I remember him from that movie.
Yeah, with Denny Villeneuve. He's in a couple of Denny Villeneuve movies.
He is.
Prisoners and Dune 1, right?
Yeah, and there was like a bunch of stuff. That was like the first thing I remember seeing him in. And then it was like Ant-Man, Dark Knight.
Was he in Batman Begins? No, he was in Dark Knight.
Right,
yeah, he's a Joker guy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Blade Runner 2049. He's in Dune. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
He was great in Suicide Squad, or the Suicide Squad, the good one.
Right. So the polka dot, I was just getting there. And then he was in an episode of MacGyver. But he's done some like voiceover work. This guy's legit.
I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
But like all those movies,
next big thing.
All those movies that you named, he's not the lead or even the second lead.
Never.
Any of them. Yeah.
Never. He's just like that character actor who you've seen.
Yeah.
By the way, great death in Blade Runner 2049.
What was his
He death? Dies very well in that movie. Remember the replicant, what's her name? Love.
Yeah.
Comes in and she's like stealing the bones and he's like, you can't do that. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he like turns around. She karate chops him in the back of the neck.
And, like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, like, right. The, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. And he's just kind of like laying there gurgling. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, I think from the chat here, check out When Evil Lurks if you haven't, the most disturbing horror movie of last year. That's another one that Stiz has recommended. Is that one?
Check that out.
That's not in English, right? Not that it matters, but I feel like When Evil, is that one of the ones that's subtitled? Anyway, I'll add that to my queue. How about this? This movie begins. It's a 90-minute movie. Mm-hmm. There's a 9-minute, like, Here's a production company.
It's so long.
It reminded me of the Family Guy thing. Remember when they're sitting in there and Peter Griffin reacts to everyone like it's a movie? He's like, oh, that's a good one. I wonder what those two are up to. Oh, nope. And then it's like Smith & Smith Productions. He's like, oh. And then it's like two people like holding hands going, and they're like, oh, I wonder where they're going. And then it's like another production company. That it was so
That's a
many.
Pretty good Peter Griffin, by the way.
That's not too, it's not terrible. Yeah,
that's pretty good. That went on for a long time, and then they're kind of like intro, and this is the one thing that I would say like I didn't really like about it, is like their intro, like to give you the backstory, was also kind of long.
See, I liked it though, and I think it was it was like for like a horror movie, you're probably thinking like let's kind of jump into it. I kind of liked it because it gave you the full background of it, and I was entertained, and they were showing you these different images. They're showing you what's going on in the 70s. They're painting this picture of this guy Jack Delroy, who like is made up, so we don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I thought it was great. He was a popular radio DJ in Chicago, and
right.
then he turned into this. They talk about his wife, who's very important in the movie, and sort of like that whole thing, how his show was good, he would get nominated, would never win, and Carson just destroyed him all the time. And like he became a little bit of a punching bag to the show. So you could basically painting why he would be so desperate.
Yes.
For a couple of things. Yeah. What we can even jump ahead to this. So it also sort of tells you about the Grove. Jack has a connection to the Grove, which is like this gentleman's club out in the middle of nowhere in California, right? With the tall trees.
Guys being dudes. Yeah.
Just guys fucking about, having a time, you know, doing whatever they want to do.
Life was like, you run, you boat, you stink.
You row your boat.
You can be guys. Eat,
you stink. Yeah, from slackers.
You can have sex, but it's not gay.
No, do whatever you want up there, the tall trees. So you knew that was coming back at some point. When you see that shit, you're like, that the fuck? That looks like a cult. That looks like a separate
We're
going to
be hearing about this later. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they, I like how that part is kind of narrated at the beginning. And that's why, again, it's not really found footage. Like, found footage would have been just the episode of Night Owls, right? That's the name of the show. That it would just have been that episode. Instead, you're in his mind at some point. You have that whole preamble at the beginning, which I think is fine. But, like, you can't sell it as just straight up a found footage movie. But you knew something was up with the Grove. They highlight that. Then they keep moving. They keep pumping it through. They talk about Jack's wife, Madeline Piper, and their connection. They were like sort of like a power couple, if you will. And then she gets cancer. She goes on his show, and it's like one of the highest rated shows, or the highest rated show he's ever done. And then shortly after that show, she dies.
Yes.
And then he eventually comes back, and people are happy to see him, but it's kind of more of the same. I was like, all right, he's sort of like, he's the other guy.
Right.
Although I would argue Letterman and Leno were on head to head for many, many, many years. There's room in the world for more than one late night host.
Yeah. And I remember flipping back and forth to see whoever their guest was. I would flip.
Yeah.
I would watch Letterman's monologue.
Definitely.
But then whoever the guest was, and musical guest, I would flip back and forth.
Yep. And then I'd watch Kilborn. And then I'd be sitting there until 1:30 in the morning watching Kilborn, just killing it.
Yep. So there is one thing that was confusing. Now we're into, so I did like this. So yeah, so there's this whole thing, and you go through this like whole found footage thing, and the narrator mentions that like what you're about to see is the master tape of this whole airing. And they have like some behind the scenes footage that they've cobbled together to make this story. So when they go to commercial break, there's actually like, you can see what's going on. The one thing that I'm confused about, and maybe, so in the end, like there's this scene where you're kind of, like you said, you're in Jack's mind and he's seeing things that like aren't there clearly. Uh-huh. Right. We as an audience wouldn't see that.
100%. That's why it's not really a found footage movie. It's like kind of found footage.
They set that up, but like you wouldn't see the thing that are going on in his mind where he sees people from his past and he sees Minnie or Madeline, or you see the guy who, the cult leader who died. Like you wouldn't see that.
Definitely not. Definitely not. And that's why
that bothered me a little bit.
I feel like some people, and you wouldn't be alone. Like there are definitely some people that would have a problem with the ending because they sort of build it up one way and then they like kind of change the rules in a way.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, let's do this. And then I think it's a better kind of visual for the audience, but then you have to forget the fact that like, oh, wait a minute, this is just in our heads.
But then that's why I have to watch it again, because they do explain some things that they're like, basically they don't want. So when Lily, what's the girl's name?
Lily. Yep.
Lily.
Yep.
Lily. So like Lily's Abraxas, the demon comes out of her.
Yeah.
And the woman was like, she needs to focus on me. Like, don't make any noise. And she keeps telling the audience, like, don't let her look at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because like that's how it like feeds.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it was like taking control over like the whole set and like the whole production.
Yeah, it could be
in a way.
But then also it's one of those things where the I think if people want to harp on the found footage thing, they can, because the other part, one of the big moments in the movie was when Carmichael Haig, who is like the magician and the skeptic, he hypnotizes the audience, right?
Yes.
But then they go and then they, like, so everybody thinks there's, like, worms coming out of Gus and, like, all this shit.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, let's go check back the videotape again. Like, I don't think you would, I guess they're assuming you also get hypnotized. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that that's sort of, like, a sticky kind of, that wouldn't really work either.
Was there a moment where you were kind of worried about that?
Yep.
You're like, am I going to get fucking hypnotized right now?
Oh, I wouldn't stare at that thing fucking spinning.
No, I didn't. I looked away.
I looked up. I'm like, I want to be around for this. I don't want to get locked in on this. Dude, you remember?
And then there was like that strobe flash. I was like, what was that?
Dude, do you remember at St. Paul's, our first year, a hypnotist came?
Oh my God, I have a great hypnotist story. Go.
I was just going to say, you remember this because there was a kid who played football with us and he played hockey with you. He was a senior our first year. He was like a big kid, big, strong kid, nice guy. But they brought up a bunch of people to get hypnotized, and he got like so hypnotized that the guy had to like stop the show and like tell somebody to like give him a water and like walk it off. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was like fucking zoned in, and like he didn't have him do anything too crazy, but he was like, oh, like bark like a dog and like stand on a leg, and like he did all that. But then like when they were trying to snap him out of it, he was still like zoned out, and they're like, can we get some help for this guy?
I remember, awake to me, like awake to me.
And he was just like, yeah, whatever you need. I'm like, oh my God, what happened to this guy? Wow. So I've never been like hypnotized, nor would I want to be hypnotized.
No, and I think I'm not receptive to it. Like, I don't, like, you have to, they say you have to be like open to it. And I'm like, no, I'm not, this isn't for me.
Right.
So I was a freshman at Bishop Gerton High School. And they decided at a Catholic school, mind you, to bring in a hypnotist to the school. Mm-hmm. Now, this led some of my peers to go into the chapel and start praying for us.
Okay.
Clearly.
Makes sense. Right? Yeah, that'd be good.
So what had happened was, so there were these two, they were in my brother's grade. They were twins. These two girls, wildly attractive.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So one of them gets called up on stage and the hypnotist is going through his whole thing. Like, oh, you're stuck in the chair. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can't get out. And then he's like, all right. So when I snap my fingers, like, you're going to be really cold. And everyone's like shivering. And like, what, like, would you rather be really hot or really cold?
Hypnotized. Cold. Yeah.
So then he goes, all right, now, like, when I snap my fingers, you're going to be really hot. And so everyone starts doing the thing. And this girl stands up, and she's wearing, like, an Oxford shirt. She starts, like, unbuttoning her shirt and, like, pulling at it. And I remember one guy, we just called him Trucker. I never knew the kid's real name, but he was, like, a senior.
Yeah.
And he just starts going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he starts, like, going crazy. And the guy ran over. The guy ran over and did the thing like the, where he like knocks them out.
Yeah, yeah.
He like knocked her out like right away.
Yeah.
And like sent her away. And I'm not kidding you, Rich. 500 students just went, boo! And they just started like booing the guy. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
He's like, I have to do this. He's like, we're going to get in a lot of trouble if I don't.
Oh, and he got booed by every single person in that gymnasium.
I thought you were going to say, because they were twins, they were going to fool the guy and they were going to have her do something and then have the other one walk out like unbeknownst to him.
That would have been an unbelievable prank.
Can you imagine that? Like, he's hypnotizing the one girl. He's telling her to do something and then he turns around and she's like behind him now. And he's like, the fuck is it? I'm not ready for this.
Just the one kid. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's about to make his year.
So excited.
Just didn't happen.
The Trucker. Everyone called him Trucker because like he wanted, his goal in life was to be a long haul truck driver, and he played the banjo. Like, that's all I remember about
this. And he just delivered a roof to my neighbor last week.
That was probably him. Fucking Trucker.
That piece of shit. So the guests on this show on this night, it starts with Christu, the psychic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I love how they do it too, because he does the shit where he's like, if I get like a Peterman, they're like, Peterson, like, yeah, of course, there it is. Like,
yeah.
The classic like bullshit thing. And then he goes through the guy and he's like, I'm like, your wife, is she crossed over? And he's like, I don't know, she left me a while ago. And he's like, great, like a good back and forth there. But you're like, all right, this guy's kind of a quack. But then he finds somebody else and he like nails it. And then the whole time, I think Carmichael Haig, if besides Jack Delroy, is the best character on this. Because even though I believe in all this shit, like I love all this stuff, and I am a full-on believer, you need to have the skeptic. You need to have somebody that's like, oh, like, well, that's fake. And like, oh, well, he knew this. And oh, you told him that. Like, I'm good with that. And he did a great job. Like, he was such a good character.
He was very convincing. And so remember that time when they're talking to that guy, Peterman? They're talking to Peterman?
Peterman.
And he... Jack makes some quip to the dude in the skeleton costume.
Yeah.
And the guy just like stares at him. And then you see him, you see that is always in the mix. So I need to watch it again. So I need to figure out who that is.
So the skeleton costume, you see a couple of times, doesn't say anything. And then even in this scene, like right before the finale, when like some of the people from the Grove are all kind of lined up, that guy in the skeleton costume,
he's in there.
Yeah.
And I think there was like the scene where like there are people like running all over the place. And I think he's still sitting there, like not moving.
Yeah. Like he knows what's up. Yep. The other cool thing is Carmichael references, he's showing some of the stuff that he's been working on, like where he goes out and like calls everybody. And so he was at Amityville and he called out Ed and Lorraine Warren from
and like, would he call them like scaredy cats?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Basically, they wouldn't come out here or whatever. And then so you have Chris Du, who then ends up dying, which is like a big part. And Jack is told about it like during one of the commercial breaks. He's like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Carmichael's great. And then you have Dr. June and Lily. And it's so amazing too, like just how much like it's all about like the show. So he's like being super serious and he's like, we're gonna do this. And he's like, we're gonna see, like, we're gonna communicate with like the spirits. But first, these messages. You know what I mean? Like, it's always, like, still back to the show.
That cracked me up every single time. Like, you get, like, this, like, crescendo of, like, this whole drama. And he's like, no word from our sponsors.
Yep, just a quick word. It's so good. So, this movie got under a little bit of heat because apparently some of those images, you know, those, like, you know, night owls or, like, we'll be right back or technical difficulties, I guess they used AI for some of those, or at least started it with AI. So a lot of people were pissed and were like, you got to boycott the movie. And I'm like, I don't know, man. They still had a full.
I get it.
Like, I get it in a way.
Like, graphic designers make those things and they get paid and you're using computers to like not. And the image, I think the one was the one with the skeleton that they, people had the most issue with because it didn't look right. That's one thing, like AI art, like it can't do hands and shit right. Like, it's weird.
No, it can't. But I thought for the movie, it actually made sense because you don't want it to look right. You kind of want it to be off, don't you?
Yeah. And it looked like the time, like it had like the right colors and the right scheme and the right. Like,
and from what the director, the writer and director, and it was two people, they did it together. And I think they even said that they were like, yeah, we did for a few, like three of the images, basically. Plus, we had our team kind of like take that and change it a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm like, but it's also like, this is a movie that, like, again, if you look, the more credits at the beginning, like you said, like the Peter Griffin thing, that's all those people who had invested in that movie. So the budget was probably nothing.
Oh yeah, I can tell you what it was. It was not much. It was definitely one of these low budget horror movies. They had to squeak it out with like 30 different production teams. So let's see.
Right.
The budget, it doesn't fucking say. It did not make much at the box office.
Well, but the more, like I said, the more production companies involved.
Yeah.
Like, you do split that cost evenly, so you got to figure, like,
yeah, I know,
probably
I know.
Not that much. And I got to tell you, for all those production companies that I saw on the screen, I had not heard of a single one of them.
Nope. They're all fresh.
Not once.
They're rookie new year kids. For all of them.
Yeah, it's almost like they made a production company just to fund this movie.
Seriously. Gus was a good character, too. That was his sidekick.
Yeah, and kind of like he's speaking for all of us, the kind of the ground wire who's just like,
because he's having fun early, and then he's like, "What the fuck is going on? Like, we got to be done with this. Like, we got to be done."
And he hits him with like, "Nobody's fucking leaving. Like, no one's like,
yeah." So that I thought that was such a good, like, it was a well written, well acted character, because he wasn't like simply a good guy. Clearly, like, he's got that connection with the Grove, and basically it was like, hey, if you want success, something bad's gonna happen. Now, he claims he doesn't know exactly what was gonna happen, which may or may not be true, but he made some sort of deal. Next thing you know, his wife gets cancer and then she dies. But then his show does a lot better. There's also a really eerie part at the beginning when he's interviewing Lily. And she says something about how, like, he's going to be really famous soon.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, like, yeah, about time, right, Gus? And Gus is like, yeah, I was getting worried. But you're going to be, like, really famous soon. So there's that whole thing. And then at the end, I thought it was good. Like, you're right. If the movie is supposed to just be, like, through the lens or, like, through that episode, then they kind of fucking throw that away. But, like, he's in his head. He thinks he's talking to his wife. But then when it cuts to him and he actually killed Lily, I thought that was great. I thought that was a great ending.
That was great. And so, you know, he's good. You can hear the sirens too. Like, he's
coming.
Bro's going to jail.
So, you know? How do you interpret the ending? Would you say that she legit was possessed and she killed, she killed a bunch of people in there, or she, or the, whatever the entity, they killed a bunch of people in there. A bunch of the crowd left, right? They do show crowd taking off when shit starts to hit the fan. So she probably killed Gus and Dr. June and Carmichael.
Yeah.
And then he fucking stabbed her and then he like comes to. That's how, that's how I read that.
Too. And so there was this thing too that they said in the beginning that the cult that was making sacrifices.
Yes. With that
would
dagger.
Kill the girls when they were 13 and she's 13.
Oh, so good that was catch. Like,
yeah. She was like the sacrifice for that.
Oh, no shit.
So even though she was out, she was still.
Yeah, like, because that was a cool line that they had in there too when they were like, they didn't know if like her surviving that was a part of their plan or not. And it probably was in hindsight.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is fucked. But like, I like how they have sort of like the double cult, right? Like basically Jack is in one.
Well, that's part of one of the things I really liked about it is that we're like, they spent this time and I think intentionally like disparaging like this one, like blood cult.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they kill people. And then they're like, but you do the same exact fucking thing. Yes. It's just shinier. It's just like, you just do it with like richer people.
Right.
Like it's like, you're either doing it in like a house in like the suburbs or you're like, you're doing it like in the grove
with the tall
in
trees,
like this super secret thing. Like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was like the smart part about it.
And what I love too about like the character, just going back to like the three-dimensional character of Jack is because he comes across as a great guy. Like I say, he's very charismatic on the show. He's funny. You want to root for him. It's a sad story about his wife. But then you see him during the commercial breaks being like, we got to fucking do this for ratings. And then like with Dr. June, who he has a relationship with, and she's clearly very emotional. And like Lily means a lot to her. And like, she cares way more about like helping Lily. And like, they have this like crazy moment. Then they go to break and he's like, oh, we could get you guys like once a week. You know what I mean? Like, he's so cold to that. Like, he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's just trying to make the show better. And I'm like, oh, it's so good because so much of the character that we saw was not like that, you know? And then he clearly, he cares way more about himself, way more about his ratings than he lets on.
So let me ask you this. So you would not strike, I'm guessing you would not strike this type of deal to be the most famous radio person.
I would not go to any kind of grove, any kind of tall tree. Mm-hmm. If I had to leave my house to just mess about with a bunch of people in robes.
What if they met on Zoom? What if you had to wear like Microsoft Teams or like what's the other thing that people use?
House party.
Slack. Like, you know, Slack. Yeah.
I'm way more likely to do that. I'll give you that.
Remember House Party?
House Party. I did a House Party a couple times.
I did House Party a couple times too. Yeah, that was fun.
That was 2020. Yeah. Like that was probably like May of 2020, of June.
Yeah, that was like House Party. May, June. Yeah, right in the deep dick of COVID.
The belly of the beast.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I probably wouldn't go down this road. But call me crazy. I don't know how they pull it off, but I was so infatuated with the character and the world that I don't know how you do a sequel or a prequel, but I kind of want that. Like, I wonder if you could sort of, like, wouldn't you love to, so Jack's alive. Like, you could get like Jack in prison trying to explain what's going on and then having that entity like catch on to somebody else or catch on to him or something. Like, you could do another one.
Or what you could do that. What I would love to see is Jack in prison.
Yep.
And he's cellmates with the devil. He's cellmates with a guy who's like now attached to this thing.
Love it.
And what you could do outside, because you can't just shoot the whole thing in prison. It would be cool, but you couldn't shoot the whole thing in prison.
Right.
But like how he's trying to expose like the growth and like what they, and he's telling stories so you can like flash it back.
That's a good idea. Because then you can take, because
the
grove, you could take any other person there and you can have all kinds of like, you could have this guy's a famous actor, this guy's a famous whatever, this guy's a politician, and you could put them all in there and then you could like create these characters, bring them down, they're all connected to the grove,
and they're not going to make this, but like, yeah, and then like you find out in like the end that like the judge
fucking judge
is in the grove
and it's played by Judge Reinhold. Nailed it.
I think he's dead.
Judge Reinhold's dead.
I'm thinking Harry Anderson.
Oh, from Night Court. Yeah, he's dead.
From Night Court, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but Judge Reinhold. Oh, that's Judge. It's Judge.
I'm the judge. No, he's very much alive.
Judge Reinhold's great.
Yeah.
He was such a prick in Gremlins. Oh.
Oh, yeah. What an asshole. Prick. What a snitch.
An asshole.
A rat snitch.
You fucking ass.
Trying to He's always trying to bang Phoebe Cates, too.
I mean,
what's that all about?
You know what song I just heard for the first time? What's that ska song about Phoebe Cates? Who sang it? It popped up on my mix the other day.
Am I looking at a Judge Reinhold mugshot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You maybe probably from Gremlins. He was such a prick.
No, he was arrested at Dallas Love Field Airport for refusing a pat down search. It was flagged by TSA.
What was he holding? Have you ever heard of a band called Fenix TX?
No.
It's an American pop punk band. They have a song called Phoebe Cates.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure. She's married to Kevin Kline.
Yeah. She basically retired from acting like forever ago.
Yeah.
How about this? Deep Pull, the YouTube chat knew exactly Phoenix, who I was talking
Phoenix
about.
Phoenix TX? Yeah.
Yeah, it popped up because I listened to a ton of Real Big Fish and Goldfinger.
Still, to this day.
Oh, yeah.
I saw an Instagram ad popped up, and there's like a towel or t-shirt you can get that says, or it was a TeePublic ad, and it said, the ska and professional wrestlings are the only true art forms left.
Legit two of my favorite things. I shit you not. Oh,
I had a conversation the other day with somebody. They're like, the musicianship in any normal ska band is like off the charts. Like how good of musicians like all those people
are. They're good.
Like the music's goofy, but like the horn sec, those people, every single person
they're playing
in the ska
the
band
shit
that you heard
out of the
can
horns.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So anyway, I listen to a lot of Goldfinger and Real Big Fish. And then so sometimes when I'm ripping through their best ofs, like my phone will randomly go to like other stuff that it thinks I like.
Yeah.
And like 90% of that is shit compared to those guys. But all of a sudden this Phoebe Cates song popped on. I was like, all right, that's fine.
Like, this is kind of nice.
Dude, wrestling, for the wrestling fan out there, AEW had a pay-per-view a couple weeks ago. And I don't know how you found it. I don't know how I found it because I didn't pay for the pay-per-view. But I found a match online. Somebody posted it. Bryan Danielson, friend of the show, versus Will Ospreay. One of the best wrestling matches I've ever seen. No shit.
Bryan Danielson.
Was Daniel Bryan in WWE.
Daniel Bryan. Okay, yeah. I was like, who was he in the WWE?
So he was Bryan Danielson's his real name. So he was Bryan Danielson in the indies. They made him change it at WWE, and then when he left WWE, he changed it back. But he can still go. He's basically got one more year of wrestling, he said. He's had a lot of conkies. He's had a whole bunch of
conkies.
Stuff.
Did he, like, break his neck, too?
He fucked up his neck bad. Yeah, he couldn't. He was, like, ruled out. Then he got ruled back in. And this Will Ospreay guy? Fucking bananas. Now, some people don't like too many flips. Like some people,
I love all the flips.
So do I, dude. I'm so pro-flip. Some people are like, oh, it looks like a goddamn, like, floor routine. I've listened to Jim Cornette a little bit, his podcast. He's like, oh, it's a goddamn, like, gymnast act. I'm like, I don't care, man. Like, it's so impressive. Plus, he's physical, too. So he could do, like, a crazy-ass flip over the ropes and then come in there and, like, stick you with an elbow to the mouth. Like, he's good. Will Ospreay is
like
real
a,
good.
He's like, he's like a Hardy boy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. He's like a modern-day Hardy with, like, but better.
Man, it was that one thing. It was, like, Ricochet and somebody else. Like, and they just did, like, a two-minute, like, choreographed thing, and they landed in, like, hero poses at the end.
Oh, yeah.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Was that Logan Paul?
No.
It might have been Ospreay. Ricochet fought Will Ospreay years ago in the Indies.
That might have been him. The Fridge showed, he's like, you got to see this. And he, like, sent me the YouTube. And I'm like, oh, my God. That's nuts.
Will, like, you could probably just go to Will Ospreay. Like, he's just, like, six-star matches, like, left, right, and center. Like, everything he does is insane.
But they do that thing. It's, like, choreographed. So they land at the same time. But they're doing, like, front handsprings.
Mm-hmm.
They're like in a handstand, hit the ropes, come back down, like run, like bounce off that way. It was nuts.
I love it. I love that shit. And then so this match with Danielson was insane. Like, so try to find it. It's probably like a 20-minute, maybe 30-minute match, but holy smokes, it was awesome. Anyway,
I want to see if that's the one I was thinking of, the Will Ospreay.
I bet it was Ospreay Ricochet.
It was. And New Japan?
Probably.
Yeah,
New Japan.
Because the Japanese love that shit.
They get some
I'm watching it right now. Man.
Good fights over there. Anything Kenny Omega? I think Kenny Omega had a Will Ospreay match too, which was sick.
Oh, what athletes these guys are, huh?
Dude, they're awesome. I love that. I love that shit. Anyway.
But like, I love the Hara Karana and you land on your feet. like do a cartwheel and like land on your feet. It's nuts.
The stuff's insane. There's a guy too for WWE, Montez Ford, who is in the Street Profits. He does a move where he runs like, so guys are on the outside of the ring. He runs like sprints towards the turnbuckle and then like jumps over it and like hits his hands on like the side and does a flip over the fucking corner of the ring.
What?
Yeah,
you can't do that.
He doesn't jump from the top rope. He fucking flips over the top rope and uses his hands as like a pummel horse.
That's crazy.
Cause like, it's fake. Yeah, oh yeah. What if that guy fucking slips his hand? Like he's dead. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like you don't hit that just right.
Anyway. You go down on the concrete like head first, like you're dead.
You're fucked.
You're a dead person.
So anyway, we could do a whole thing on just the greatest wrestling matches of all time because there's some good ones, man. And the crowd, so this is how you knew it was good. Ospreay and Danielson, before the match even started, the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome." Like they
before it even started.
The bell rang and they were looking at each other like this. They're like, "This is awesome." They're like,
you know what? I went down a rabbit hole of like old 90s like WWE fan signs on Reddit. So funny. Like so Rivals College Game Day for like funny ass signs.
Oh, it did. And you remember like during the Attitude Era when they would first like the camera would zip in to Monday Night Raw and then go around. Yeah. There wasn't like a section without sign. Like all it was signs.
Right.
Everybody had all a fucking sign in there.
Yeah. Nuts. But anyway, go see Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah. Check this shit out and let us know what you thought. We loved it. So next week, Double Dork, Baby Reindeer, and Bad Batch.
And Bad Batch. I got a lot of TV to watch, but I'm here for it.
I'm here for it as well. Hit us up Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube where we stream these episodes live, normally on Sunday nights, but occasionally we'll move that a little bit. At Dork Podcast, tell a friend, tell a dork. That'll do it for us. And Dave, you promised me a million times over, you'll never do another rule.
Yeah, man, I'm not gonna promise you that.